In homage to our esteemed forerunner, we commence this ecclesiastical tale with the question, who will be the new bishop? Back in the year of 1850-something, when this same puzzle absorbed the good folk of Barchester, appointing a new bishop appears to have been a pretty straightforward affair. To be sure, there was some Oxbridge High Table-style manoeuvring behind the scenes. There were raised and dashed hopes, with the press confidently and for the most part wrongly naming names. And then the Prime Minister made his choice. Dr. Proudie, we read, was bishop-elect a month after the demise of the late bishop. A month! I fear, by contrast, we will still be asking who will be the new bishop for a long time to come, while the Crown Nominations Commission ruminates. Ruminates? Dare I apply so bovine a metaphor to this august body? Do I wish, my reader, to picture jaws rolling, rolling, strands of saliva swinging, heads turning ponderously this way and that, as the process of discernment toils on? And how, if we pursue this alimentary metaphor to its logical conclusion, are we to characterise its outcome? No, we had better eschew rumination. And anyway, they are not an august body. They are just a bunch of ordinary Anglicans, operating as best they can in this awkward limbo that the C of E senior appointments currently occupies, somewhere between 1850-something and the real world. These days, it takes a very long time to appoint a new bishop. It feels especially protracted for those caught up in the process and zipped by oaths into the body bag of confidentiality. So, who will be the new Bishop of Linchester? I have no idea. If you're keen to know early, your best bet is to keep an eye on Twitter. It is possible that someone will award themselves a smiley sticker on the wall chart of self-aggrandizement by being the first to blab what others have appropriately kept under wraps. We rejoin our Lincastrian friends the day before Low Sunday, that is, the first Sunday after Easter. In parishes across the diocese, this collect may be said. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts. It may be said, but it is not, of course, compulsory. Gone is the golden age of Book of Common Prayer uniformity, the days of here's a digestive biscuit, take it or leave it. Gone too are the late unlamented days of the alternative service book. Here's a choice, digestive, Lincoln, rich tea or Garibaldi. We now inhabit the age of the biscuit assortment. Here, have a rummage. Heck, we are pretty much in the age of the liturgical bake-off. Provided some of the right ingredients are used, frankly, you can go ahead and make your own. Anything. Provided there are biscuits to feed the hungry people of the UK. Like the risen Christ himself, this narrative will find locked doors no obstacle. The hearts and homes of our characters stand ajar to us. We may slip in and snoop around. Let us set out now to walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace in their company as far as Advent, the Church's new year. New Year at the end of November? Yes, there it is again, that strange tension between the two realms we inhabit, the church and the world, with ever and anon the tug of homesickness for the home we have never seen. Come, reader, and dust off the wings of your imagination. Fly with me once again to the green and pleasant diocese of Linchester. Ah, Linchester, from you we have been absent in the spring. Even now, as the month draws to its close, proud pied April is still dressed in all his trim. Look down as we glide upon polite Anglican wings, and see how every road edge is blessed with silver and gold, daisies and dandelions. No mower blade can keep them down. See where eddies of cherry blossom, pink, white, swirl in suburban gutters.